about, God bless you. Hope your day is going well. Greetings from Cornerstone Apostolic Church, located at 524 East Pasadena Avenue in the city of Pomona, where Jesus is Lord. I'd like to direct your attention to Genesis. We're looking at Genesis, the 8th chapter and the 20th verse. This is our selected reading this morning through verse 22, 20 through verse 22. And it says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." I'm going to take my time and talk about this. It's important to talk about it. We can preach, exhort, and hoop and holler and all, but sometimes we just need to slow our roll as the Holy Ghost leads us and talk about it. And so this is a conversation that everybody is welcome to join in. And I just asked a question to someone, and I don't know if it was caught, but listen, what was the first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark? So Noah built an altar unto the Lord. I want you to think about that. Think about that for a moment. Now, we have an altar here. And matter of fact, we're going to visit the altar. People think when you're told to go to the altar that it's a rebuke. Well, sometimes it might be. But there are other times that you need to do like Noah did and build an altar unto the Lord. Do you ever think about doing anything for the Lord? You know, many people, the first thing they do or the few words out their mouth is, "Lord, give me." And I'm paraphrasing it, but it's give me. I want. Do this. Do that. Can I have? Rather than just showing, having a attitude of gratitude. The songwriter said, "Well, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now." So in my mind, your mind, the Lord is blessing us. Now, someone, and I'm sure all of us, we can walk through the hospitals. We see people that are walking down the street that are not in the same condition as we are in. I don't think that, and we, you know, we look at them and we say, "Well, you know, I'm not in there. It could be worse." And, you know, and so I'm comparing myself to them. And that individual, some of them are just as grateful and just as happy at the life that they have without all of the ability that some of us have, without the finances that some of us have, without the activity of all of their limbs. They are grateful. You have people that are Holy Ghost filled, blind, can't see. You have learned to use Braille to read the Word of God. God is blessing them. They have eyes of faith beyond what we can even imagine. There are those that we look at that are hobbling along, can't run down the street, using support systems to make it where they need to go. And they are just as content. Think about that for a moment. They are content with who they are and where they are. And some of us are considered whole, and we're struggling with who we are. Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar. Noah built an altar and offered a clean sacrifice unto the Lord. We ought to offer a clean sacrifice unto the Lord. So another songwriter said, we bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. When we come into the house of the Lord, this is why it's important to leave everything behind. You might have a conversation pending, business to take care of, something to talk about that's of urgency. But then you're preparing also to go to church. And so therefore, you have to set that aside. It can wait. Matter of fact, it's good that it wait, that so that you can have time to talk to God, to bring it to the altar, and to allow God, because God may change you instead of changing the situation. God may do something at the altar that you just so unexpected, but yet it's God. So Noah built an altar. What did Noah build? Can you say it one more time? What did he build? He built an altar unto the Lord. And the Lord, 21st verse, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, as I was reading this over and over and over again, it just stood out. The Lord said in his heart, when we bring that sacrifice to the altar, when we go to the altar and talk to God, we influence God. Noah influenced God. And God said in his heart, God thought about what was done. God thought about what was being displayed. God thought about and said in his heart, what do you want God to say in his heart about you? I know there's a scripture that says that my thoughts are far, my thoughts are above whatever you think, and my thoughts about you are, listen, the Bible tells us that God spoke unto Noah and his sons and established a covenant with them. He said, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Now, if you're listening to this, and those of us that are here in the service, somebody did something right. Think about it for a moment. You're listening to a broadcast message, a recorded message about the word of God and what God did for Noah. And what God is doing for you right now. Somebody did something right. God spoke to Noah and said, I establish my covenant. I'm making a promise to you and to your seed after you. I'm making a promise to you and to your seed after you. Somebody did something that caused God to say in his heart. And what God said in his heart was that I'm not only going to bless you, but I'm also going to bless your family. I'm going to bless your great-grandchildren. I'm going to bless your children's children and your children's children and your children's children. Somebody did something right. And God blessed it. That's a hallelujah by itself. That's a praise by itself. Somebody did something in your lineage that God said, I'm going to remember. And here it is, 2017. And God remembered the promise that he made to our ancestor and brought us into the fold, opened our minds up one day, caught us from wherever we was. It don't matter what you was doing. It don't matter where you came from. It don't matter. The point is that God remembered. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. God remembered. He remembered the promise. And so God told Noah, gave him some assurance. Assurance is defined as the confidence or certainty of one's own ability, God's own ability. Insurance is intended to provide confidence. That's what God was doing. He was going to provide Noah with some confidence. And so he gave him a visual, effect for confidence. Somebody help me out. What was that visual effect?
Confidence.
What are we tasting today?
Confidence.
What are we tasting today?
Rainbow.
We're tasting the rainbow. God gave Noah a sign, gave him a rainbow to look at. Every time I cause a cloud to come over and to shower the atmosphere with water that is going to reflect the elements that I produce, is going to cause a colorful image in the sky known as a rainbow. And we still see the rainbow today as a promise that was made unto Noah. That's why we can say, like the Skittles commercial, taste the rainbow. We're tasting, we're recipients, and we're viewing the promise that God made to Noah. Noah is not here today, but yet we are a recipient of the promise that he made to Noah. Oh, bless you, Lord God. If God made Noah this promise, and remember, because see, the rainbow, God said, every time I see the rainbow, I'm going to remember my promise that I made to you. Noah, every time I see this rainbow, I'm going to remember the promise that I made to you, your sons, your children, I'm going to remember the promises that I made. Oh, bless you, Lord. When we look at this, Noah was a man like you and me, like you and I. Let me correct that for somebody. He lived during similar times that we live in. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In Noah's day, people were going about doing all that they wanted to do. They were socializing. They were having fun. They were getting their groove on. They did everything that they wanted to do until Noah entered into the ark. Now, by the time Noah entered into the ark, the rain had started to come down. Somebody looked out the window and said, it's raining. We heard that they remembered that preacher saying it's going to rain. They remembered him saying that a flood is coming. They remember. I just believe that something stirred up in their guts. It said that they were partying and they were having fun. And that those that were invited to go into the ark and those that were invited to help out and build the ark of safety. See, we're in the ark of safety this morning. Those that were invited to build the ark of safety laughed at Noah and his family, laughed at those that were also laughing and laughing with them that were laughing, and until they went inside the ark. When they went into the ark, the Bible tells us that an angel came down and locked the door. No matter how much Noah wanted to open the door to help those that was outside. Now, I'm going someplace, but I didn't want to go here, but those that were outside the ark, can you imagine? I want you to imagine in your mind for just a moment here that Noah enters the ark with his family.
told the people that it's going to flood, a flood is going to come. People didn't believe him. People talked about him. Personalities, comedians, and people of that day and time laughed at Noah, laughed at his family, called them fools, told them that they were radicals, talked about them in a bad way. May have talked about them day after day, night after night, said things that they shouldn't have been saying. Those same people found themselves standing at the ark, at the door of the ark, fingernails broken, trampled over, run down, squashed in the what was now becoming mud, because they wanted to get into the ark, climbing up into the highest trees and going up into the highest hills and getting on top of roofs and climbing up into caves and places where they felt for the moment they'll be safe. And they can just last a little. The party had come to an end. 1999. Party had come to an end. That was 1999. They were partying. So after this, God saved Noah. Saved his family. Saved man. Human. Not a Superman, but just a man with a family that believed God. Is there a man that believed God today? One that will lead his family. Say, family, we need to go to church. Family, we need to start praying. Family, we need to honor the Lord. Family, this is real. Family, let's build an altar unto the Lord. Let's do something for God. Bless your Lord God. The Bible says that, let's just know that this is the first place. And this is the first place in the Bible where the word altar is used. Noah built an altar unto the Lord. Altars were created out of whatever they necessary and how they felt led. They created an altar. The Hebrew word for altar is mezbah, which is a verbal root meaning for to slaughter. They were about to slaughter some things. Listen, when we come to the altar, thank you, Lord. You ought to feel good about this. When you come to the altar, you can slaughter some things. There's some things that you want to slaughter. There's some things that you want to kill. You can do it at the altar. It's legal to kill it at the altar. The Old Testament lets us know and records that the altars were made of stone, metal, earth, or bricks that was used. Noah felt the need to honor the Lord with a sacrifice. Noah believed God. Noah's wife and family believed the message that he presented from the Lord. They believed and were saved from the pending judgment that came upon those that would not believe. Don't be found in a place where you disbelieve only to find out later it was true. My godfather told me, he said, listen, the worst, the most terrible, the most detrimental, there are two words that you never want to hear, and that's too late. There are times that you went to the bus stop. It was too late. So you had to wait for the next one. You may have missed a plane. It was too late. You got there too late. But you don't want to be like those that came to the ark and it was too late. It's a terrible place to be. So God acknowledged the promise, acknowledged the acceptance that Noah had offered unto him. He accepted it. He recognized it. God admitted in his own heart that what Noah was doing was pleasing in his sight. And he confessed something about it. Noah's actions were impressing His actions were inspiring. His actions were appreciated. Not only did Noah show appreciation unto God for deliverance, God acknowledged the act of gratitude that was shown by Noah. That's why it said that the sacrifice was soothing, a sweet-smelling savor unto him. What can I do today that will move the Lord? What can you do today that is going to move God? Yes, you can influence God. Not with a bunch of words. You don't have to speak in tongues and to influence God. Because see, there are those that in this, oh, bless you, Lord. Don't get me wrong, the Holy Ghost is needed. You need the Holy Ghost, and the evidence is through speaking of in tongues, but you got to be obedient unto the Lord. Samuel told Saul, he said, listen, burnt offerings and sacrifices, that's not what God desired. He desired obedience. I'm obedient unto the Lord. When I'm obedient, and see, obedience and sacrifice go together. I'm obedient unto God. I'm obeying what he says. And I'm coming to bring a sacrifice. Noah could not have built an altar. And he could not have made a sacrifice unto God without obedience. If Noah did not build, if Noah did not obey what God had said, he would have been washed away in the flood like everybody else. But he obeyed God. What can I do to influence God? First and foremost, Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I want you to help me out here. Say present your bodies. Come on, say it again.
Present your bodies.
A living
sacrifice.
Holy.
Holy.
Acceptable.
Acceptable.
Unto God. Every one of us can do this. Thank you. Let me help somebody here. The challenge, which is not a challenge, is that you listen to this and you say, man, I haven't been to church. I just finished cussing somebody out. I just finished getting my party on with whoever and whatever, and all that I deem, and I cannot do that. Let me help you out. Because I want you to be blessed. If you just take a day and say, I'm not going to. I'm going to make up in my mind that today I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to set myself aside and talk to God. See, brothers, sisters, they do that when they're on lockdown. Mm-hmm. When you're on lockdown, you can't get to the party that you would have attended. And you can't use what you would have used at the party or before the party or after the party because you're on lockdown. So at that moment, they are consecrated. They are set aside. And they begin to pray. Lord, if you get me out of this, Lord, if you help me in this situation, I won't do that anymore. Look, God knows when we're telling the truth. And God makes a way. We get out and we do it again. My point is that you've had and you understand what it means to shut it down. Not to do it. To give your body a break. And so when you give your, look at how great it is. You're not on lockdown. You're not in any trouble, but you're telling your girlfriend, you're telling your boyfriend, you're telling those that you with, Let's chill today. I gotta just chill today. Let's not do anything today. I want to hear from heaven. If what that preacher is saying is true, I want to experience it. And I am telling you the truth. You want to experience this. Oh, bless you, Lord God. God made a promise to Noah and his sons. God not only spoke to Noah, but he spoke to the family too. He said, a promise, I'm declaring, I'm assuring that I'm going to do something. I'm making a vow. You have a daughter, you have a son, you have somebody. Lord, bless my children. Lord, watch over and keep them. Lord, you know that I'm a knucklehead and I'm trying to get it right. And God's going to help you get it right. Because all of us have been knuckleheads. So God's going to help you get it right, just like he helped us get it right. Bless your name, Jesus. Somebody's going to be blessed by what's said. Somebody's going to be blessed by listening to me because they listened to it and they made it this far. And by making it this far, they're able to hear the voice of God through the voice that they're listening to right now that said, God is willing, God is influenced by the fact that you are thinking about him. Bless your name, Jesus. Noah's family was blessed. And so God said, as a sign of the promise that's being made, Noah and every living creature, he established a sign of the rainbow. A rainbow. Oh, this great phenomenon. If God made Noah this promise, and we are looking at it today, we're recipients of the promise that God made to Noah then. Those people have died and gone off the scene. God is still remembering the promise that he made to dead men. I'm alive. Listen to what I'm saying. God remembered the promise that he made to those dead men. How much more will God remember the promise that he made to you? I'm a beneficiary. I'm benefiting. You're benefiting from the promise that God made to somebody that prayed one day, said, Lord, bless my family. We're benefiting from the promise that God made one day because someone sung a song unto the Lord. I remember as a boy growing up visiting my grandfather, and he was sitting in his bedroom playing his guitar and singing songs unto the Lord. That's as much as I remember about him because he passed shortly afterwards. But I remember seeing him and listening to him sing songs unto the Lord. He did something right. One of those songs may have touched God's heart in such a way that he sent your seed and the seed after you that they're going to be blessed. And when I look back over the family, it's a lineage of preachers and evangelists and missionaries and that many of them have the testimony that I didn't always do it right. But the day came that God remembered the promise. Thank you, Jesus. God remembered the promise that while I was yet under the influence, that God remembered the promise and dried up the taste of that influence and brought us out. God remembered the promise that he made that while we were in the bed with something, he remembered the promise and brought us out. He dried up the taste of the mess that we were involved in. Because somebody did it right. Friend, what can you do right today? You may have got it wrong yesterday, and you may not have got it right today. But I'm telling you that God remembers the promise that he made. And you might look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I'm not worthy of the promise. That's not your decision. God made you worthy. It's the work that Jesus Christ did, not your own work. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We'll never get it right. And if we did get it right, we'll become messed up with pride. Be walking around talking about how we did it our way. How we got over. How we tricked. Listen, there's a commercial where the man is about to race death. And the gun goes off, and as he starts to run, you see him over to the side eating a hot dog, and then you see him in a taxi cab, and he rolls out the taxi cab and jumps up and starts running just a few feet away from the finish line. You know, they say stunt people cheat death. If we did it our way, we'd be talking about how we cheated death. It's not going to work that way. It has to work through the remission of sin. And the remission of sin is through the shedding of blood, which was done on Calvary for each of us. God made a promise. He made a promise and said the seed would be blessed. Told Abraham, your seed is going to be blessed. Told this Gentile, took a Gentile and pulled out another nation from them. God told your family that you were going to be blessed. Yes, you did it. You paid for it. Whatever it was. But today, while you're listening to this, you are blessed. We are blessed. The day came that my mother looked and said, there must be a God. That boy that changed his life, God changed my life. She saw it, and she got saved. They saw it, my brother got saved. They saw it, my sister got saved. Somebody's going to get saved because of you. It may not look like it today, but God already spoke into your life that you are a preacher, that you are a missionary, that you are an evangelist, that you are a part of the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists for the edifying of the saints, for the body of Christ. Bless the Lord. Till we all come into the stature of the man, Christ Jesus. What it doesn't look like today, God has already looked down the line and saw you. So there's a day of appointment. Bless your Lord. I hope something has been said I know something has been said that's going to propel you in the direction that God wants you to be in, because he said, my word is going to go out and it is not going to return void unto me. The word of God has gone out and it's not returning void. Bless your Lord God.